from Ron's choice of music, and I thank you, Ron, and your familiarity with this scripture, you'll all recognize my title today from Psalm 121, verses 1 to 8 in the New International Version. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will neither harm you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, we read, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Both these scriptures help us to refocus on the assurance that we can reach out and contact our ultimate source of help and comfort. One interesting thing about the scripture in Philippians is that it was written while the Apostle Paul was in lockdown. He had been confined to his home by order of the Roman Empire. And whether he knew it or not, he was social distancing. He was under house arrest, and things did not look good for him at all. Yet he always says, don't be anxious. Paul probably had a pretty good idea that his preaching was going to bring him to trouble in the end. Yet his message to the Philippians, and from which we can be reminded also, focus on God. Pray, and he will give you peace. It's also good to remember that we will not be immune from the misfortunes and hardships that affect everyone on this planet. In a very familiar scripture that we have heard whole sermons on, Matthew 5:45, Jesus is quoted as saying, speaking of God, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We can count on being treated just like every other human being in creation. God does not favor those who belong to any particular church, ethnic group, or gender. There are those who believe that when we are faced with a crisis, we must do something, as if we have some measure of control in any way. We know that we already have the promise of care and comfort from God, from the God who loves us. Yes, we must do something. But the question is, how do we do something when we don't have anything to do? Since Christ has done everything that is needed. That quote is actually from the book Justification by Faith, A Matter of Death and Life by Gerhard Ford. So what do we do? We stand still and be filled with the peace of God that transcends all understanding. Again in Matthew 6:33 and 34, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Like Paul during his house arrest imposed by the Roman Empire, we've been in lockdown imposed by governments of all countries around the globe due to coronavirus for 7.5 months now. Like Paul, we've been told that we need to stay away from gatherings, such as crowds who followed Paul to hear him speak, or in our case, the thousands of our fellow citizens who frequent the malls and sporting events, right on down to small weddings, funerals, and extended family celebrations, and to stay only with those of our immediate household. The devastation caused by this global lockdown in every area of our lives is incalculable at this point and may never be fully realized. So many large companies, small businesses, and independent entrepreneurs have gone out of business that there can be no such thing as a reopening. Anyone who survives to reopen will be the vanguard of a new reality. The services like air travel, international vacations, interprovincial vacations in many cases, even eating out in restaurants in our own city, the things that we have taken for granted all our lives have all but disappeared. As we hope for things to somehow get back to normal, we have to accept that what will become our normal will be different, maybe in many ways, from what we have known in the past. This all sounds very negative, but in the midst of all these changes, there are some steadfast pillars that we can count on to see us through. Even though the difficulties at times may seem insurmountable. Another thing to remember is that trouble comes to everyone. We are not being punished with this pandemic for anything specific that we've done. In fact, most of what happens to us in life are the natural consequences of the choices we make or the physical laws that we break. The laws are what we term immutable. That means the consequences of keeping or breaking those laws do not change, no matter whether we are Christian followers or members of an isolated tribe who have never heard the name of Jesus. The laws, along with their consequences, were set in motion at creation and have continued immutable ever since. The story of Job in the Bible is a very clear demonstration of how trouble doesn't pick and choose between the God-fearing and the ungodly. Job was a godly man. He tried to be, and God saw him as such. Yet the troubles that befell Job are almost unimaginable. He lost everything except his life and his one-time unsupportive wife. In Job verses 6 and 7 we read, "For hardship does not spring from the soil, nor does trouble sprout from the ground." And in verse 7, "Yet man is born to trouble, as surely as sparks fly upward." We've all sat around a campfire or a fire pit at night and watched as the sparks fly upward. That is one of those immutable laws. Just as predictable, according to Job, is that man is born to trouble. On the lighter side, this reminds me of a quote that was in the Calgary Herald this week from Hollywood star Matthew McConaughey. His outlook on life: "Everything that happens to us in life is according to a plan. Sometimes things happen according to the plan. When they don't, that's also part of the plan." His message is the same. In other words, don't be anxious over things we cannot control. We read earlier that God sends the sun and the rain on the just and the unjust. So too are we all subject to the good and the not so good that happens to everyone around us on this earth. All down through history, the godly have been exposed to the same disease epidemics, famine, and wars as have all their neighbors, whether they are just or unjust. What we rely on is what separates us from the fear and desperation we see in those around us who don't know that they can rely on the power of God in a crisis. It isn't that we have any guarantee that we will be saved while others perish. Our reliance is on God and in the fact that we know, in spite of not being able to do anything about the problem and to save ourselves, that God still loves us and is right here with us. That love never changes, whether we are going through good times or bad. We go back to the scripture in Philippians 4:7. And the peace, or love of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We need never doubt that we can call on God in our time of trouble and rest assured that our Creator hears and He's aware of every situation. When we're faced with the unknown, as we have been for the past 8 months, we tend to look to the familiar or comforting things to help get us through. In our case, when things go wrong, usually our first source of comfort is to go to God in prayer. We read in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." And in verse 4, "who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God." And in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 31, commenting on the short time of peace the early church enjoyed just after its inception, "then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged." And this word encouraged is translated in a New International Version of the Bible from the Greek paraklesis, which is also often translated as comforted. So it was strengthened and comforted by the Holy Spirit. It, this church or new group of followers, grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Here we see that the comfort came via the Holy Spirit. This is that same Holy Spirit, unchanged down through the millennia, that is still living in us today. That source of God's comfort we know as Christ living within us, through the Comforter He promised to send so that we would not be alone when His earthly life was ended. Whenever we're faced with a turning point or a new reality, it's a good time to reevaluate. What are the essentials? What basics do we need to keep as we reset our priorities? Over the past 8 months, we have lived without quite a few of the things we thought of as essential. Most of them, in retrospect, are physical entertainments, self-indulgences, and just things that we have done or used over the years without really thinking about them. Then there are the activities that fall into more of a necessity or urgent category. They would include earning a living, whatever that may look like, with many businesses shut down and people working from home. Keeping up to date on our chronic medical conditions. Many people have not had a doctor's appointment nor medication recheck in months. Caring for or monitoring the care of our elderly relatives, visiting and keeping in touch with family members spread out across the country or in some cases in other countries. This would also include continued support as we are able for our church family and our pastor, since our spiritual health will be instrumental to our surviving these changes in society. Human beings are social creatures, and contact with other humans is vital to our health and well-being. Some of us may think we'd be quite happy if there were nobody else around. But studies have shown that we humans need each other. While actual person-to-person contact may be limited at this time, it's still quite doable to set aside a certain amount of time throughout the week to phone or text someone just to stay in touch. Most of us are able to get out and shop for groceries, so we do see and probably talk to people enough to satisfy our need for contact. What about the people who can't get out? Whether because of health issues, aging, transportation, particularly now when the sidewalks have become icy or snow-covered. If you have neighbors, family, or even someone you know who's not directly connected to your social circle, who might appreciate hearing your voice or having you do a pickup type shop for them, keep them on your list. This is covered in the scripture, Matthew 25, 35, and 36. The quote from Jesus addressing the sheep and the goats. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in." In verse 36, "I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Even though these scriptures refer to specific helps, they cover the attitude of service, of someone who's willing to put themselves out for others, the spirit of giving and loving your fellow man. Taking into account whether we need extra help or whether we can support someone who does, there are two things we need to think about and make arrangements for. What exactly do we really need? And who would we call on to supply that need? What about the things that have come to be labeled expendable? This list will vary according to age, personal interests, income, social status, meaning whether you're married or single, and to a great degree, your location, or where you live or work. This doesn't only apply to Calgary, but to anywhere in the world where people are dependent on so many amenities that we have become accustomed to. For instance, some may say, "We don't need libraries." They have been deemed expendable in some cases and closed down. Maybe that someone isn't an avid reader, or doesn't realize how important a library is to someone doing research in the north, where cell phone service and internet are sporadic, if at all available. What about the airline situation, especially in what Canadians know as the Atlantic bubble? They have had what is in many cases their only access to the outside world severely downgraded. Sure, we recognize that airlines cannot continue to operate at the same level of service for only 10% of the passengers they're equipped for. Those 10% suddenly find that they cannot commute from their jobs in Alberta to their homes in the Atlantic bubble. When they do happen to get back there, they're isolated from their families for 14 days. Then in a day or two, it's time to fly back to Alberta. Sometimes it seems the rules were not thoroughly vetted before they were implemented. As a personal example, my cousin in the Atlantic bubble lost her son totally unexpectedly in the summer. Her daughters both live in Fort Mac. The oldest one wanted to go back home to be with her mother and help arrange the funeral for her brother. After working around the changes in flight scheduling, which at one time would have been a WestJet direct flight from Fort Mac to St. John's, she had to fly for 48 hours, two whole days, with five stopovers, compounding her chances of contracting the virus, to get to Newfoundland Labrador. When she arrived, it had been nearly a week since her brother's death. Then she was not allowed to leave the hotel at the airport for 14 days. Finally, they were allowed to hold a memorial service for maximum 10 people, socially distanced, in their backyard. This is a totally different way of doing life and death. It seems what is expendable doesn't depend on how vital the service is to any particular group of people or area. We've been fortunate to arrange our lives so that whatever we wanted to do was available to us. Now we have to learn to separate out what the powers that be deem as expendable and what is actually necessary. There is very little agreement when it comes to what stays and what can go. If you look at the list, theaters, both live and movie theaters, some spas and beauty salons, some gymnasiums, sporting events, both amateur and professional, some restaurants and pubs, some medical procedures, border crossings, with some towns being completely cut off from their home countries, travel agencies, many cruise ships, even international conferences and business travel in most cases, small businesses usually offering niche products or services. And then there are the severe restrictions on weddings, funerals, and family gatherings. What about the loss of the on-campus experience for first-year students? This looks like it will not be reversed in the next year or two. The list doesn't seem to be structured along any recognizable lines. Some see these changes as a new way of cutting the high cost of doing business. Others bemoan the loss of favorite pastimes. In all cases, these changes will bring about either the survival or the demise of companies and services as we've known them. One thing is certain. The global economy has been devastated by this pandemic, and how it is rebuilt will determine what our lives look like in the coming years. Now, to recap, this looks like it's fairly negative, but it depends on the way we determine our priorities and how we will meet our needs and obligations going forward. Yes, there will be changes. Some of them, and the list is constantly changing, will probably become permanent. And many of them, even some not yet revealed, may take some getting used to. Yet even while we are still limited in our activities due to this virus, and we know that there may yet be more trials and troubles ahead, there is hope. We have the assurance that we can always rely on our God and experience the comfort that we can only gain through a close relationship with our Creator. Take comfort in all the ways that are open to us to enjoy the creation, to enjoy phone and text visits with each other, to meet and fellowship together as long as we have this opportunity, to spend time in conversation with God, and to appreciate that God is fully aware of what's happening. While we have the ability to take an objective look at what we see unfolding around us, if necessary, we can reset our priorities and define what we see as our essentials. Then we can more easily adapt to the new reality, all the while finding ways to ensure that the attitude of love and service, which identifies us as followers of the way, does not become one of the expendables.